This is Doug Miller. Well, where is the truth to be found? And who really knows? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are delighted and privileged to be back with you one more time with this blessed book in hand. This is truth, and it is life, and it is light, and God promises and has promised that this word, which is his word, will not return to him void. So we are delighted to be able to send this word out this morning. And today, to all who are listening, and if you tuned in this morning, it doesn't matter why you tuned in. The important thing is that you're there, and it is your privilege to sit and to listen to the Word of God as it goes forth. So bring your Bibles. Come along. We are in the fifth chapter of Job, and we will be beginning at the 15th verse today. So call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You are the only advertisers we have out there. And tell them to listen in. And remember that we in Dialogue here are utterly and absolutely dependent upon the Lord's people and interested parties for support on sending this word out. We need your prayers. And we need for you, because you can rest assured that there are enemies out there who would like to stop this. And this is a spiritual thing. It is spiritual warfare. And if you are saved and born again, you have direct access to the throne of the living God. And we have there a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And you perhaps have no idea. I hope that you have an idea, but you might not, how powerful your prayers are in helping and encouraging us and sending this word out. So write down Dialogue Ministries and pray for us. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of this broadcast. We also have an email address. If you want to email us, ask questions, or request help, anything we can do for you, we'd be delighted to do it, absolutely free of charge, and I mean that sincerely. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Okay? Dialogue, D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E, Ministries. We have a web page, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And on there you can read about the Dialogue Ministries and pull down the broadcasts and listen to them all once again at your pleasure, free of charge. That's what grace is all about. Now, if you would like to call and talk to me, I would be very happy to talk to you. The phone number, area code 405-535-9089. That is 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and I will get back with you. You leave a message, and I will leave your phone number, and I will get back with you. Okay, I believe that is the preliminaries are dealt with. Let's look into the Word of God, and I ask at the first, who has truth? Now, this is one of the things that we are going to see over and over again. throughout, oh, the first 30 chapters or so of this book from here on, up until these three friends have said all they have to say and finally shut up, we're going to see this. These men, what they are saying is not necessarily not true. Much of what they say is true. And we might ask ourselves, and here's as good a time to ask it as any, what is it, why does God rebuke them at the end? Why does he not have anything good to say about them? And why does he say that, you know, you haven't spoken the things of me that are right? I often have wondered that, because we're going to see things that this, that we're looking now at Eliphaz the Temanite and what he has to say to Job, and it's a lengthy speech. It began back in chapter 4. It runs on through chapter 5. And we read some of the things that he says, and it is, it's impossible not to say, well, isn't that true? Then why does God say later that what they said was not right? Why does he rebuke them and say, you know, have my servant Job to pray for you, for your forgiveness? Interesting question, isn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you my answer anyway, and we're going to read what Eliphaz the Temanite says here, and I'll tell you what I think is wrong with it. And I believe I've got this right, and if I don't, well, I'm sure you can write me or call me or whatever and say, I don't think you got that right, brother, and that'll be all right. There are things I haven't gotten right, but let me tell you what I think is wrong here. But first, let me read some of this to you. We read in verse 15, he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Well, that's Eliphaz the Temanite's assessment of things. And we might ask, what's wrong with that? And why is he saying it? Well, he's saying it to Job because here is Job in all these troubles. And Eliphaz's position, it's the wrong one. He thinks that Job is really a hypocrite, that he's an evil, wicked man, and that he just won't admit to it. And we're going to see that once again over and over again from these three guys. Does God save the poor from the sword? And do they have hope? And so on and so forth. Well, yeah, in many ways, I suppose that's true. But in some ways, it's not. In some ways, it is not. This is the sort of generalization that these guys throw out here all the time at Job. And I want to tell you about poverty. And why can't I tell you about poverty? Because I came out of poverty, friends. I came out of poverty more grinding than many of you out there can imagine. You may have heard me say on here before, I was a cotton patch kid from East Texas, and we had wall-to-wall nothing. Did the Lord save us out of that? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He brought us through some hard times down there, and my parents really saw hard times, and my grandparents, they lived through the Depression down there, and I lived through some of that, but I really don't remember it. I really don't remember it. By the time I got old enough to function and start looking around and understanding what was going on, we were well on our way through World War II. And while things were still very hard, we didn't really get out of the Depression until the 50s. That's for all of you who don't, who really believe that we were on our way to prosperity or that we got out because of the war. Not really. But nevertheless, it is true that the Lord saved us out of that, and I am very grateful to the Lord. And, of course, I missed most of the hard times, and I was the one who got to go to school, and I was the one who got to travel, And I was the one who got the degrees, and my parents are the ones that had to work and slave to see to it that I could. But let me tell you something. There are people all over the world today who are poor and who are starving to death. And in fact, they are dying even now from hunger by the multitudes. And some of you, I know one of the great criticisms of the Bible that I have heard over and over again is, you know, the unbelievers like to throw the Sermon at the Mount at people like, on the Mount at people like me. And here he, you know, here it says that God feeds the birds of the air and won't he much more clothe you? Let me tell you something. And feed you, and why don't worry about food and clothing and all of that. I want you to listen to this. That statement is a statement made to the Lord's people from the Lord. Now, look, there is much hunger going on, and there is much misery in the world right today. God's promise to his people is that they will always have their needs met. He doesn't say that they will have their wants met. You may want a lot of things you never get, and so may I. But my needs have always been met, and they always will be. What about the people out there who are following false gods, who are living in darkness, who have never, the gospel has never penetrated their dark hearts and souls? I want to tell you, many of them are in darkness, and many of them are suffering greatly. And this statement here, that he saveth the poor from the sword and from their mouth, there are people out there right now who are being murdered, who are suffering. It's really this sort of general statement that this man makes here is true on one level and certainly not true on another. Now, if you say to me, well, what are you talking about? On what level is it true? It is true that God always has his eye on and his hand on his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee is the promise, and that is true. And yet, even as I speak, Christians, who are the most persecuted single group in this world today, Christians are being killed right now. They are being murdered by angry mobs in many places. You look at the Christians who are even now living in Indonesia, where the Muslims in angry mobs are murdering them and burning down churches and killing the pastors of churches over there. It's happening all over the world today. You look at the Christians who are today in India, in places where the Hindus are in a majority. And I, you know, what can I tell you? You, some of you out there, you may find this offensive. You better face the truth. Every time you pick up a paper almost, or a newspaper, or a magazine, or anyone who's willing to deal with the truth, they will tell you that the Christians are under great persecution by the Hindus in India and by the Arabs and the Muslims, both the Shiites and the Sunnis, in Iraq and Iran, and in many of the places in Africa. And, of course, the Jews, who are God's earthly people, have always been under the gun. There's never been a time when they weren't. And so the facts are, but what can we say about all of this? And let me just, before I say that, let me just tell you all something out there. If you think that we in the West and in the United States of America and in places where the gospel has really penetrated and many people have been saved in areas that we used to think of as Christian countries. If you think we are going to escape this, you had better think again. Are we blind? Are we deaf? Can we not see and hear? Do we not see what's going on in our own country right now? Do you not know, those of you who are listening to me, that all through Europe and in England, and even in our own country to some degree, anti-Semitism is on the rise, and the Jewish people are being persecuted again? Don't imagine that this won't happen again. It is happening. And do you not see, do you not understand that Christianity is under the gun, that there are people in our own country right now, even as I speak, and a growing number of people who will do most anything they can to destroy Christianity? They want to shut us up, and they want to shut people like me up and others of us who are on these radio broadcasts speaking and teaching. There are many out there who would like nothing more than to stop us from saying what we're saying. And listen, this is just the beginning, friends. We are moving toward the end times, and we are moving toward Laodicea for sure. In fact, we're already in it. The Laodicean church, it's all around us. And many of the World Council of Churches, for example, they are not friends of people like me. They hate us and do not like Israel. And, I mean, this statement that Eliphaz the Temanite has laid out here is very superficial. And, you know, what can you say about it? It's true on a superficial level, and it's true on a deeper level, too, as long as you understand what you're talking about. God does not promise us a bed of roses in this world. What he does promise us is that we will reign and rule with Christ, that he will ultimately wipe every tear away, that all suffering will one day be gone, and that he will exalt his people, not necessarily in this world, but certainly in the world to come. And in the great millennial reign of Christ Jesus our Lord, it will all come to pass at that time. And we will be delighted because we were willing to suffer with him here. Now let's read on and see what else this man says. He says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth." That's true. That's true. How could I argue with it? And he goes on here and says, "Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Now that one is quoted in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. The writer of Hebrews quotes that. "Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So, I mean, how could we say this is not right? This is true. And once again, why doesn't God commend this man then for speaking the truth? I'm going to tell you why. Then we're going to see this over and over again. This man and his friends, he is talking platitudes, things that he has heard, but things that he doesn't know from experience. I am absolutely convinced of it. He is simply talking things, proverbs that he has heard. And look, I run into this all the time. There are a world of people out there. They go down to the bookstore. They get a book. They buy a book, perhaps Jim Elliot's diary or his journal. They read Jim Elliot's diary. They buy the books of a man like C.H. McIntosh, for example, or many of those old brethren, you know, William Kelly and John Darby and those men. And they read these things. And then they go around spouting out this wisdom as if it were theirs. And they do not know it at all for themselves. I want to tell you, that kind of wisdom, while it is true, while, you know, if someone said, you know, John Darby always said that, you know, Let me come up with one of John Darby's sayings here. If you are disappointed in yourself, it's only because you expected something out of yourself to begin with. Now, Mr. Darby said that, and it's true, and it is well worth saying, but unless you have learned that for yourself, what are you doing? You're merely spouting some other man's wisdom, passing on truths that someone else gave you. It's many times an empty and a meaningless yammering is the word that comes immediately to mind. Oh, this guy, Eliphaz, he can lay these proverbs out there, but he doesn't know anything about them, really. Look at this. He says in verse 18, he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He, right on into verse 19, shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7. There shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Thou shalt neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offering as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Well, you know, once again, we're about out of time, but look at this. This is very beautiful language, and our man has put it out here with very fluent and fluid lips and words, and he rolled it right off. But I get the distinct feeling in reading this that he has no idea what he's talking about. Anyone can talk this kind of thing. But once again, from what God says later of Eliphaz the Temanite, we know that there is no reality in any of this. And if you're listening to this, and if you have ever been counseled by someone like this when you were in trouble, you might have gone away saying, there was nothing in that. He simply didn't understand at all. And friends, that is exactly the truth in this case. Job is hurting. He is down, and this man has used a lot of high language, and he doesn't understand it at all. Now, do you want to hear more? You'll have to come back next time. We're out of time now. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.